want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we have a great show for you this week. However, I guess our listeners are fortunate enough, I'm saying that because she's not here, I have a fill-in co-host this week, and that is Doug from Golf Tech. Doug, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, great, JB. Thanks. It's great to be here.
We have a really interesting show for our listeners this week, and it's really an informative show as well as something that, you know, I preach all the time, and I don't want to be that preaching kind of guy, but I want to talk about golf fitting and club fitting. And rather than me preach it, you know, as a quote-unquote expert that is not really an expert, I wanted to have somebody on that can answer some questions. So I did a little research. I dug around. I talked to beginning golfers throughout our area, as well as casual golfers that aren't really equipment experts, and came up with some questions, and I'm going to fire them off at Doug as long as he's okay with that.
Yeah, you bet. Go right ahead.
Can you tell us a little bit about club fitting in general? What does it mean to have a club fit for you?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the first point we can talk about is when, you know, that just that whole phrase, club fitting, you know, there's so many different types of fittings that are out there. You know, if you go back to maybe some of the old school days, it was, you know, fitting with just a lie board and some face tape, and that constituted a fitting. And then, you know, as technology has advanced, there was the introduction of launch monitors that provide data regarding ball speed and spin rates, launch angles, and so that became a big part of fitting as well. So even today, I think, you know, there's a lot of different levels of fittings that are out there. So you have to kind of know what you're signing up for. I think it's important when you're going to get fit, understand what you're going to be getting with, you know, what you're signing up for in terms of that fitting.
Now, you and I both know that fitting works, and that it does for just about anybody, and we'll get to a little bit of that later. Can you explain, and I always have trouble putting this into words because, let's face it, I'm not that bright. What is it about fitting, and why does it make it work for a golfer? What is the biggest change? Let's take a 6-iron, you know, an iron fitting. What will change on that iron after a fitting potentially to make it work for a golfer?
Sure. Well, let me kind of transition into that a little bit with just a little more detail, maybe about Golf Tech's fitting method.
Okay.
A little bit more specific about what we do, and then actually it'll transition really well into answering the question that you just posed about, you know, why it would help somebody play better golf. So, you know, the first thing that we do is we kind of incorporate all the aspects of fitting technology. So we start with some basic measurements. You know, we start with static measurements for length and lie, loft, and then we dynamically confirm those as well. I would say that our fitting goes a little bit more than just kind of the standard length, lie, loft. We also confirm grip size, make sure that you've got the grip that's the right size for you. And when it comes to shaft flex, for example, a lot of people don't realize it, but there are many people out there that fit actually in what we would call kind of an in-between flex, where, you know, they're not quite a regular, they're not quite the stiff, they're maybe somewhere in between that flex.
And even to take that a step further, and why I think fitting is so important, and I won't interrupt him again, I promise, till the next time anyway. There is no shaft standard, so one company's stiff can be another company's regular in some cases.
Absolutely. There really are no standards across the board, not just with regard to flex, but even length, lie angle. Every manufacturer is sort of free to make their own standards. So you will find standards within each manufacturer, but across the board, industry-wide, it doesn't exist. So we try to stay away from, you know, referring, even within our fitting process, we don't talk about somebody having a lie angle that is standard or 1 degree flat or upright. We give them a specific number based on their 6-iron. It might be 62 degree, 63 degree lie angle, whatever that is, and put it into a specific number. So there's a lot of aspects of that measurement section that go into giving a good fit that's going to lead to helping that person play better. We also have a precision matching aspect to our fitting process, which is where we access a database of thousands of golf clubs that have been tested and cataloged based on how they perform. And then when a player comes in, we gather some initial launch data from them, determine how they're launching the ball relative to the optimals that would be based on their ball speed. And then because we have that database, we're able to identify clubs that were shown in testing to perform in a manner that would be beneficial to that player. So it kind of helps to weed down some of the, you know, the trying of all these different clubs. The reality is some clubs are going to perform better for certain players, and other clubs will perform better for other players just based on their own individual launch characteristics. And then finally, the last aspect is set makeup. I think that's an overlooked part of custom fitting. We go into making sure that we eliminate all gaps within the set of the clubs. And I would say, JB, that's from the driver all the way through to the wedges. And I think a lot of people, don't realize the importance of that. But, the sets as they come off the factory aren't necessarily always designed to eliminate those gaps. So we take time to make sure we do that. We have a discussion with regard to hybrids and irons. And then we, even on the wedges, we dial them in for the right lofts, the right bounce angles, and even lie angle. Speaking of wedges, it's interesting too. A lot of people are kind of familiar with the lie angle of an iron and what it should be. But what a lot of people don't realize is that your wedges, in many cases, should not be the same lie angle as your irons. In other words, if you were a player that had a 3-degree upright lie angle with regards to your full swing, when it comes time to your wedges, it might, in many cases, it'll benefit you better to have a lie angle that's a little bit flatter than that normal, the more upright lie that you had on your full swing clubs.
Now,
so we take all of that into account. So hopefully that's not too long-winded and didn't put anybody to...
Here's a question that I have that I think will sum up a lot of ways what people don't understand about fitting. Now, let's say you have never been fit for clubs and you've always just bought off the rack for whatever reason, and you're fitting somebody and you say, and I'm explaining this incredibly poorly as usual, but just I'll use your example, 3-degree upright. If somebody were technically a 3-degree upright player for a specific set of clubs but weren't fit, how badly would they be missing?
Yeah, great question. So just use that specific example. They buy a standard, a set off the rack that's a standard lie angle, and we know that from a fitting process we've determined maybe in this example they should be using a club that's 3 degrees upright. So the club that they have, that standard one, is too flat for them. That's going to cause the ball to go to the right. What they'll probably see is, with their divots is divots that are toe down or deeper in the toe side of the divot as opposed to the heel. And the tendency would be for the ball to go to the right because of that.
Right-handed players, correct?
Absolutely, for a right-hand player. But what can happen is, and this is kind of another reason why it's important to get fit and why it can help somebody play better golf, is if you're trying to make swing changes, you need golf clubs that reward the right swing. When you're making the right golf swing, you need to be rewarded for that. A good example might be, even with that lie angle, right? If my swing plane is so upright that I'm currently using a club there, need a club that's very, very upright. If my coach, my instructor is trying to shallow out my swing and round it off a little bit, so my lie angle becomes, getting closer to neutral. If I've got clubs that aren't the right lie angle, I won't get the payoff. I won't get rewarded. I can actually make a good swing and get a bad shot.
Now, I had a talk with a famous club maker recently on the air, and he told me an interesting story, and that was that the misnomer here is that fitting should be for good players because they have the repeatable swing. But what he was telling me is the really good players and the better player technically could, it's not advisory, but could adjust their swing to make sure that whatever clubs they were holding would help them more so than the high handicapper or mid handicapper. So really the fitting is just as important across the board.
Oh, completely agree. In fact, you could almost argue it's more beneficial for the higher handicap player. I mean, they need every advantage they can get in order to play their best golf. And, when it comes to technology of equipment these days, there's so many variables out there and that are available to a player that they can take advantage of that, the way I look at it and we look at it at Golf Tech is there's two types of golfers out there. There's golfers that take lessons and there's golfers that don't take lessons. And in either case, regardless of your skill level or your ability, getting properly fit equipment is going to help you perform better. If you're taking lessons, they're going to help you. They're going to make your lessons more productive, and you'll be able to progress faster. And if you're one of the players that doesn't take lessons and you just play the game recreationally but still want to play good, that's fine as well. Getting the club that's the right fit for you is going to help you play better. One quick comment too. We were talking about that lie angle. And a player that was using a club that's maybe 3 degrees off from where they should be, at 160 yards, that turns into about a 10-yard – actually just 2 degrees turns into a 10-yard offline shot with a 6-iron. So if I'm hitting a 6-iron 160 yards, but I've got a lie angle that's 2 degrees, either too upright or flat for me, that ball, if I don't make any compensation or adjustment in my swing, the ball's going to go 10 yards offline. So that's a great example of why, you know, we all need to be fit for clubs, and no matter what your skill level is, I think, you know, we all benefit from it.
So basically what you just told me is when I'm at the THP outing at PGA National coming up soon, and I'm hitting the ball terribly, I could just say that I'm reviewing this new set of clubs and they're not fit for me.
You could always use that excuse if you wanted it.
I love that. Getting back to, you know, club fitting and why it's important and switching a little bit, you know, the golf season for most people is getting ready to gear up. And I'm one of the fortunate ones that doesn't really have a golf season being in Florida. And yes, I said that to say ha-ha to everybody. Gearing up for the season, what is the best way for a golfer, whether they bought new equipment or not, to kind of gear up in a fitting standpoint? I know that a lot of people, when I lived up north, I went in and got my clubs checked and did a fitting beforehand at our club. What can people do at Golf Tech to kind of take it to the next level as the season's getting ready?
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, the most important thing is just to determine what they need. You know, it's very possible that within a set of 14 clubs, I might have some that are perfectly matched and fit me great, and there may be others that don't. So we have a product called our set analysis. It's a real simple 30-minute process that identifies, you know, all the issues that would be related to maybe length, loft, lie angle that we were just talking about, the flex of the club, grip size, your set makeup. You know, even putter length is looked at. So, you know, any one of those, you know, could provide opportunities for improvement. And that's really what our set analysis does, is we just determine maybe what are the most important priorities and then determine what course of action should we take. And the good news is that I think everyone needs to understand is it doesn't always mean that you're going to need an entirely new set of golf clubs. You know, a lot of times when we do these set analysis is we find out that, you know what, somebody maybe just needs a gap wedge to fill in between their pitching wedge and their sand wedge, or maybe they've got a driver that doesn't quite have the right loft for them, and they could perform better with one that was going to launch and spin the ball better for them. So it's not always, you know, hey, I got to invest, you know, thousands of dollars on a whole new set of clubs. Sometimes it may just be one or two that can make a big difference.
But it's always the club's fault.
It's always the club's fault. We never want to forget that. But at some point, even if it is the club's fault, we got to get that club out of the bag and then give ourselves a better chance. So, you know, the set analysis is a great way to get started without wasting a lot of time or money on fittings that you may not actually need. It'll help identify where you should be focusing your efforts.
And that could be a great way to get ready for the season, the golf season, kind of a tune-up and make sure everything's, you know, working right. Kind of like that before you're going on a long trip getting your car diagnosed.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure, you know, sometimes it may be, hey, you need to re-grip your golf clubs. You know, your clubs are fine, but, you know, the grips are getting kind of slippery, kind of worn down. Let's put some new grips on there.
Now, going back a second to something we covered briefly, and that is the different levels of golfers. Something that, you know, we've addressed with Golf Tech on the air before, but I want to do it again, is one of the things, we recently sent out a survey to a bunch of people, and we haven't really published this or anything, but it was for our educational purposes, and that was for people who have a handicap higher than 25 or don't keep track of one, meaning you're high handicap golfers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take lessons or get fit? And 93% of them said no. Now, in my mind, that would say, well, that's kind of obvious. You know, if they were taking lessons and things like that, maybe they'd be progressing better. But that's not really always the case. So we followed that up with a question of why. And one of the biggest responses was embarrassment. They don't feel comfortable going to a fitting or a pro because they're not good enough yet. They want that repeatable swing first. They want to look athletic, you know, and ready to go. What do you say to the person that is, you know, very into equipment, diehard about their game, ready to take it to the next level, but, you know, at the same time, they're just a little timid about going to hit balls in front of somebody?
Yeah, and I can understand that for sure. You know, we all get uncomfortable in certain situations. You know, what I would tell them is certainly if they come into a Golf Tech, they should feel very comfortable. We've literally worked with, you know, hundreds of thousands of players over the years and have seen, you know, any golf swing that's out there, I guarantee you we've seen it. Nobody's going to walk in and present something that we haven't seen before and don't know either how to fix it through lessons or fit through club fitting for them. So, you know, we're very comfortable with that. We try to make them feel comfortable. Our fitting bays are private. They're not It's not like they're out on a driving range where maybe they would be around a lot of other people. Each one of our bays is a private area that would just be that person and the coach. So they can maybe relax a little bit more.
That's,
for that.
I think, one of the greatest parts is, and I, let me reiterate that again. Anybody who's going to Golf Tech who is a little timid about hitting balls in front of people, whether they're new to the game or just, you know, maybe they're shy, you will have a private area to hit. You and your coach will go over there together in a private area. And that to me is ingenious, because I think that's a big deal after, you know, looking at our survey. Now, fitting is fun. It's educational, and it's certainly performance and technology driven. And something I wasn't going to get into, because we do so much on equipment, but I want to because you get to see it all as well. What do you see as the biggest trend in both golf clubs for 2011, as well as how it's implementing into fitting?
I'd say, you know, from a driver perspective, it's absolutely the adjustability aspect that just continues to advance, which I just love it. I think it's fantastic. There's been, you know, studies that have shown, you know, that adjusting face angle by, you know, a couple of degrees closer open can absolutely influence ball flight and direction. So these, you know, the players that are out there that are struggling with that slice and don't have the time or maybe don't want to make the commitment to changing their golf swing, they can purchase an adjustable driver, and almost all the manufacturers have them now. So not singling out any one particular brand, but they all have that adjustability. You can set the face to be open or closed, and you will see a difference in your ball flight immediately when you do that. And so I'd say from a, you know, what's available to the consumer out there, you should absolutely be looking into those products, because they will make a big difference in the short term. And the other thing I really love about those is, even if you are a lesson taker and maybe over time you do change your golf swing, and all of a sudden that, you know, the setting that you were working on, that you had the club set to, maybe it starts to hook now instead of slice. Well, it's a simple adjustment. You tweak it back, and now you've got a club that fits your current swing. So
much
I love
different
how the,
than in the old days having to buy that draw driver.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, I've been calling 2011 the year of the driver, and I don't mean that from a standpoint of we're seeing better stuff out here now than ever before, even though I do believe we are. I believe that the major manufacturers and OEMs, if you will, are putting together a lineup from top to bottom based on all the manufacturers put together of what I consider just something incredible. You can't go wrong with many of the companies. And one of the reasons that I relate that to is the shaft business and how shafts have gotten better and better each year. And this year in particular, companies are taking notice and not putting, I'll just say it, junk in their for their standard offerings. This relates back to fitting. When you're looking at a new driver, how important is it to get on the monitor, to get with a fitter and pick the right shaft, rather than going through the motions and saying, well, I've always played standards, you know, stock stiff, or I play a regular, my swing speed's not what it is used to be, so I'll just pick the one that I like, or I'll jump with that new white driver. The shaft I play is stiff. Let me just take that one. How important is it to go to a fitting before you get your driver?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, if you don't have that launch technology, you really don't know how that club is performing for you. And most of your listeners are pretty sharp and understand this already. But, you know, when we look at launch conditions, there's ball speed, launch angle, and spin rate are the three primary ones that we look at. And ball speed kind of dictates what the spin rate and launch angle should be. And so I can only get that with a launch monitor. I can kind of look at a ball and see, okay, well, that went high or low, and I can make an assessment. But I don't necessarily, I mean, certainly not going to be able to know what the spin rate is. I can affect spin rate through the loft of the club. I can affect launch angle through the shaft and how that shaft action performs. So, yeah, if somebody's serious about getting a club that's going to work for them, I think they absolutely have to go somewhere, whether it's Golf Tech or anywhere else, go somewhere that does have launch technology that can use that information effectively in that fitting.
It's funny you bring up, you know, the technology. I'll bore everybody with a little story here. I played the game of golf when I was younger, and then I gave it up for 10 years and then came back to it once, you know, my wife and I started playing together, and that's what we'll call it, playing. I played a fade on the ball bordering slice for 10 years growing up. I called it my power fade. I could control it. I knew where it was going and everything else. And one day somebody said, you know, you're really not struggling with the golf swing. That's not really your problem. And I just assumed I didn't want to rebuild my swing. I had taken lessons before, and they kind of said work with it because distance wasn't a huge issue. And I decided to go get fit for a shaft. And when they found out that my tendencies with the shaft, just by a shaft fitting, I was hitting a perfectly straight ball after that. It was all because I assumed I should have been playing one shaft, and it was totally wrong for my game.
Yeah. It's very true. I mean, that's not just the head technology. I mean, the shaft, you know, the flex, you get into different bend profiles and how those perform, and it's all relative to the player's transition and how they load the shaft. It obviously gets pretty advanced, but the launch technology gives us the ability to discern what is the best shaft and how it should, you know, which one would work better for you. There's a lot of people that make assumptions, I think, about what they should be using, right? Oh, you know, let's face it, a lot of us guys have, you know, big egos, and we say, oh, I want a 9-degree driver and I need a stiff shaft and because I swing hard, and, you know, and come to find out, you know, there might be as many as 20 or 30 yards in the bag just waiting to be had if they would recognize that, you know, their golf swing and their strengths don't really lend themselves to that 9-degree stiff driver. We put them into something that's got maybe a little more flex, a little lower kick, some more loft. And all of a sudden, they're hitting the ball so much better without any more effort, and that's the potential advantage that is waiting for those people if they go get fit for clubs. They may tap into something they didn't realize they had.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of times we want to fit ourselves. Ego plays a role in it, whatever it is. And if you take that out and just listen to exactly what numbers say, it's amazing what can happen. Now, I'm going to ask you one last question that's kind of related to the same subject, which is ego. And we always ask this when we're talking about fitting. There's an old story from another famous club maker that did a fitting at a major place a few years back, and a guy flew out on his Learjet to go get fit. He goes through the entire process, gets everything done, and then right after the fitting says, you know, I was reading about this other set of clubs. Let me get those too. So after going through the entire fitting, he decided to fit himself because he liked the look of something.
It must be nice to have that kind of money to be able to do that.
What do you say to the person who goes through the entire fitting or who comes into your fitting that's not open-minded and says, well, I want this, I want this, I want this, rather than just go with what's the best thing for them? Do you encounter that a lot?
We do sometimes. I would say, fortunately, not a bunch, but those people do exist out there. And that's where I'd say, again, the launch monitor becomes such an important part of that fitting because ultimately it comes down to facts. You know, you may think or want, or your ego may tell you that you need this club, and that's fine. But in reality, if the launch data tells us that a different club, whatever that might be, is performing better and it's going farther and staying in the air longer and spinning better, and that you're going to play better with that club, you know, now it's really just up to you. You can go with the facts and you can go with a club that has been proven to perform better. Or you can let your ego take over and still drive you into the club that you want or you think that you want. But, you know, because of the fact that we do use the launch technology, because we have the database of equipment, we know which clubs perform and how they do, we find that generally, you know, we just present the information to somebody. Ultimately, it's their decision. They can decide, you know, what's right for them. But in when you're looking at raw data and it tells you one club's going an extra 15 or 20 yards, you know, it's pretty easy to change those people's minds when they see that.
Very true. Well, I think that's all the information we can digest this week. You know, I want to thank you for coming on. It was really informative. I know that I've been a big believer in this for many years, and it's easier than ever now, especially with places like Golf Tech. A lot of our readers are going to Golf Tech now and putting up their profiles of how that's going, and it's just a wonderful system when there's no brand bias or anything like that in place, which is a lot of what THP stands for. So we definitely want to have you come on again, you know, mid-season, check in to see how things are going with both instruction and fitting, if that works for you.
I would be more than happy to. It's been a real pleasure.
So for myself and Golf Tech fitting in for Golfer Gal this week, we want to wish you guys good luck on the golf course for those that are playing. Those that aren't, you will be out there soon enough as the weather switches. For myself, I'm hoping to get out this weekend and play some golf, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.